And welcome, 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 dear listeners. And yes, you'd be asking, why does Dwight sound a little bit more enthusiastic for today's discussion for the business and economic segment? Well, it's not just because I also have a guest today, but also I had to slightly, you know, as I mentioned, change my hat from the home run to the business and economic segment. And as usually, it's, well, not as usually, because just last night we had Kanjengo. And for tonight, it's myself on this particular significant evening, because this is the start of a program. Well, it's a specific program for the next 3 months that helps us also get a better understanding from the particular world that our partner for this next 3 months period and next 3 month journey. Because yes, it's 3 months is a decent enough relationship status, guys. Don't worry. Today's the start. It's not to say that my guest is married to me. Please do not misunderstand things, guys. But I have a welcoming Mr. Etienne Leroux, or as for our conversation today, it'll be Etienne, because he will be also sharing a lot of particular insights into the discussion for this evening's business and economic segment. Etienne, to stop me from firstly just running away with the introduction, welcome and thank you for taking the time.
Thank you very much, Dwight.
And as giving you the particular proof there that I do have a guest, dear listeners, once again, just before we start off, do remember that the business and economic segment is from 6 to 7. And for every Wednesday, we will be having the particular discussions here on your number one talk radio station. Do also remember that you can listen to us and also be part of the conversations through listening through your conventional radio set through the Eagle FM application, which is free to download. Do not worry, there's no particular significant efforts on your side, just that we wish that you have your data bundles and that you're topped up on that. And lastly, do remember that you can listen to us through the Eagle FM website, whereby you just have to press the big play button on the website. Google search us, Eagle FM Namibia, press on it, and then press on the big play button. And starting off tonight's discussion, which is in partnership with Alan Gray Namibia, specifically, once again, introducing Mr. Etienne Leroux. Etienne, thank you for taking the time. And obviously, our discussion for the next 3 months, which is part of our background for tonight's discussion, which is also a launch, will be one which is actually anchored in one of our questions today, which is going to be longevity, patience, and basically building up to something. If we start from that particular notion, I know these are all particularly, talking about, I don't want to focus on relationship, but relations are such a pivotal thing in human societies. And I know I'm asking you something anthropological, but if you have a look at that, just your insights in that scenario, Etienne.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Dwight. No matter what industry or, you know, what part of the world in a circle of friends you find yourself, I think there are very few relationships where one would want it to be short-term in nature.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that is, kind of central to what Alan Gray stands for and what Alan Gray is known for, is long-term investing, but, you know, that encompass and also necessarily mean that you would need to have long-term relationships with your investors, yes.
And it's also a notion that helps with the, I know I'm now branching out into societal things, but in many cases we can also look at how society plays a pivotal role in obviously establishing these, which, yes, once again, factors and lays the ground for our introduction, because I actually have to, since we are launching this particular discussion, these episodes on Eagle FM, let's start with the background notion. Let's start with a little bit of history. Let's look at it in terms of this, because many people would be going like, okay, we've got Alan Gray here for tonight. Let's see where that history element comes in and how does it portray itself. So when we start from this, the background obviously indicates towards much of this. But we take a look, obviously, what Alan Gray stands for in this notion, because it's centered on this. And how does the idea that Alan Gray also, can I say promote, Etienne? Because I'm asking, because if you look at it, it is something central to Alan Gray, right?
Yeah. I assume you're referring now to the long-term
longevity. Yeah, and the history aspect, yeah.
No, definitely. No, I mean, if you consider, I mean, for those who are listening tonight and not familiar with Allengrey as a company, I think there are a lot of people out there that's not necessarily familiar from Allengrey, and it would be very wrong of us to assume that people know who, you know, this company is. So, I mean, yeah, maybe I should start with a bit of background there. So Allengrey Namibia is an investment management business, meaning that we manage money that is entrusted to us by individuals, by institutional investors. It is a company that is actually, you know, if we look back, I think we started managing money for Namibians back in 1984 already, even before we had an actual physical presence in the country. So, you know, 1984, that's 40 years that the relationship between Allengrey and Namibia as a country, you know, goes. And the story of Allengrey goes back even more, goes back to I think more or less 1973 was when the gentleman called Allengrey. I mean, it's not just
if people
name,
didn't it's realize it's someone's name actually. Yeah.
It's a person. It's a real life person. So Dr. Allengrey started what was in 1973 known as Allengrey Investment Council, and the reason why he started an investment firm. And back in those days, if you look at the companies that were offering investment management services, were, you know, more typically the big life insurance companies. And so after having completed his studies at Rhodes in the Eastern Cape, he went to the United States, studied further, and worked for a company called Fidelity. Mm. Fidelity is still one of the largest investment companies in the world. And you know, after his time with Fidelity, he realized that, you know, South Africa in specific is quite far behind of what is going on in the rest of the world in terms of asset management, and, you know, and also in terms of the way that products were structured, the costs thereof. And so he decided to come, you know, to go back to South Africa, his motherland, and started, as I said, Allengrey Investment Council. It was only in 1974, a year later, when the first clients sort of entrusted their money to Dr. Gray. And it's been a phenomenal story ever since. Mm. So in 1978, we started offering retirement fund portfolios when retirement funds started investing. But as I said, 1984, the first pension fund client, in Namibia decided to go with Allengrey. We're very proud to say that they're still clients to this very day. And it speaks to that kind of long-term relationship. Ultimately, if you think about it, an asset management firm like Allengrey, you know, we don't own a lot of assets. In fact, we might own a few tables and chairs and computers, but ultimately that's it. You know, without our clients, there is no business. Mm. And the reality of this investment world is that our clients can also take their money within 24 hours and leave. Mm. So, you know, I think it's very important in an industry like this to remind yourself that you are looking after real people's money. Mm. It's somebody's hard work, somebody's sweat that went into that money that are now being entrusted to you. As one of my mentors many years ago told me, behind every account number, there's also an ID number. You know, this is real people's money that you are looking after. Mm. You know, someone's wife, someone's aunt, someone's grandmother. And if you cannot respect that, you shouldn't be, you know, in this industry. So yes, I mean, that is very much what we are looking for. We are, you know, one of our core values are being client focused. Mm. And I think in further episodes, we'll be touching on those values, as they don't hold only true for companies like ourselves, but I think, you know, it's principles that one can apply in one's life and in whatever business you're in. But definitely, it is we take it extremely seriously. We respect the fact that we're looking after real people's investments.
And I know you made specifically mention in terms of how, if we can call it, well, I'll stick to Dr. Gray's particular official mentioning, as Dr. Gray, but the philosophy that highlights the notion or speaks as a notion of longevity. And like you also mentioned a little bit early in the introduction, obviously when you look at not tables and chairs management, dear listeners, but asset management and discussion contained in today's episode or first episode that we're launching here, is obviously this longevity notion has to provide the necessary, if we can say, it has its particular reassurance to any, even if it's a listener here today, even if it's a current client, like you mentioned, sometimes you're looking at that longevity since 1984, the longevity obviously speaks towards the particular trust bonds. And when we identify this, what does it actually symbolize to a listener? Because for today's particular discussion, obviously we're starting on radio, someone would go like, okay, we see the 1984, start off here in Namibia. So there is a relationship there. How does that symbolize itself for a Namibian listener right now?
I think investors with Alan Gray can take comfort in the fact that, being that we are long-term oriented.
Mm.
And why is this important? And I think it also depends on the age group that you find yourself in. It is... I don't want to make a generalization,
mm-hmm.
but certainly younger people today, I want to say those born, millennials and later, there's so much information available out there. There's so much instant gratification but when it comes to investments,
mm-hmm.
if you have to make that mind shift and realize there's no such thing as making quick money. Sure, you can get lucky from time to time. Maybe you dabble in cryptocurrencies or whatever it is that you do. But ultimately, wealth is built over the long term. And there are lots of examples and success stories of investors. I mean, one of the most famous investors, Warren Buffett,
mm-hmm.
If you consider, I mean, he's now in his early 90s, but he made more than half of his current wealth after the age of, he was somewhere in his 60s. And that is through, the function of compounding, etc. But I think, just to bring it back, yes, with investments, unfortunately, you have to have that long-term mindset. And think about it this way. I mean, if you finish school at the age of 18, and you are fortunate enough to go and study at a university or, some other tertiary institution, you might be there for 3 or 5 years. So say you start working at the age of 21, 22, 23, thereabout.
Mm.
You've got 40 years ahead of you, right? If you take traditional kind of retirement ages into this equation. So for 40 years, you have this opportunity, or you are presented with the opportunity to have the money that you earn, to put some of that away and wait for that to grow.
Mm.
Now, initially, they say it's a bit like watching paint dry. It's tedious as long as it's boring.
Yeah.
You don't see it. But after a few years, you start seeing growth on growth,
mm-hmm.
That compounding effect. But yes, I mean, it's a very difficult, mindset to adapt, especially for the younger generation when there's so much available so quickly and so instantly.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, it's been proven that if you want to be a successful investor, you have to have the patience as well. And we can see it in our performance numbers. I mean, I won't talk about that. I'm not here to promote, any of our funds or anything.
Mm.
But I think, for me, the sooner you can start putting money away and the longer you can wait, the more successful you would be at the end of the day. And it's interesting. One of the in one of our adverts, we use the saying that times change, but time doesn't.
Yeah.
Time is your friend. I mean, it's the one thing that you cannot buy, but that can buy you so much if you let it, right?
Mm.
There's so much to talk about.
I know, I know, because the analogy you used about education, which is one of the I think it's one of the age-old sayings that exists, which has also ultimately been proven across the world. I mean, not to reference even the UN or anything else, but education, which is basically a 12-year for basic, a 12-year patient game for the individual and also for the parents in the child. And then tertiary education, which is the, well, which now becomes sort of like the mainstay. You also have to add on a skill. Is the best representation that you can partner up in terms of the philosophy of investments. And you actually made that very good point, because they are basically synonymous with each other. And like you said, you can't go and say, okay, guys, let's rewind back to my grade 12. I really want to go and answer that one question I missed to get the 50 or 60%, even though you can redo some things, dear listeners. But yes, that is very synonymous in that. But there's also a newer kind of understanding with regards to the longevity discussion as well, Etienne, because obviously before, because dear listeners, just to let you know, we also had to talk to Etienne beforehand. When we look at the notion of longevity, there's also looking towards the future, right? Because you obviously participate in the watching the paint dry, if we leverage Etienne's analogy on that. But there's also things like people that going to go marry, that are going to go and potentially have families, would also potentially invest in further assets like home, car, and, you know, looking at growing something ahead from that. Does this, the similarity of does the same particular thinking also entrench itself into that thinking? That's not for the client, for the individual, looking at how to look at the notion of longevity alongside investment as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's an important point that you make. Life is challenging as it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there are some scary thoughts. If you take my example, if you start working at the age of 23,
mm-hmm.
You work until the age of 63, that's 40 years.
Yeah.
That means there are 480 paychecks. Right, so 40 years times 12, that's 480.
Wow, you did that quickly.
So you will get you will get paid only 480 times in your life.
Yeah.
Now, with those 480 paychecks, you have to sustain yourself. You have to live and enjoy yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, provide for yourself. Then you get married. If you're lucky, you have children.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to care for the children, make provision for them to go and study.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and give them as best of an upbringing. You know,
as possible,
you can afford.
Yeah.
And to think, and then the cherry on top, you have to save for the 30 years or the 20 years that you're going to live beyond your working career.
Mm.
So with this 480 paychecks, you have to sustain yourself, do all these things, plus put away enough so that you don't rely on a state pension, and, you know, so that you can survive as a pensioner.
Mm.
So that's quite tricky. Now, you know, that is why you have to save, and that's why you have, I think, why pension funds have a place in this world. And look, I know we live in an uneven society.
Mm.
You know, ourselves, our neighbors in South Africa, it's one of the most skewed, you know, economies in the world in terms of, you know, the gap between, you know, the I won't say the rich and the poor, but even the average and the poor.
Mm.
And you know, but if you start early enough and you have good financial advice and you stick to your plan, you can actually you know, reach a point where you can retire with independence. And with that independence, I mean not relying on a state pension, relying on family, etc.
Mm.
So, but then the longevity is another angle as well. People are getting older,
yeah.
Right? So now, I'm personally, my financial plan or projection shows that I've got to work till late in my 60s to continue sort of the living standard that I'm enjoying currently.
Mm-hmm.
But people are getting older. The thing with getting older is you will then probably, you know, need medical.
More medical care, yeah.
More medical care,
yeah.
Which we know is very expensive. The inflation, you know, the amount with which medical care gets more expensive every year is far more than than the normal inflation that we know, you know, that where goods and services get more expensive. So there are all these things to factor in. But definitely your and I'm now referring specifically to retirement, because that's probably your biggest goal in life. But that is really, it is such an important thing to talk about. And yes, I mean, I would partner up with someone, whether it's a financial advisor, investment management firm, whatever your cause of action might entail, I would partner up with someone that I trust, that's got a proven track record, and that I feel comfortable with, that I can, you know, with whom I can walk that road.
Well, with the start in 1984, obviously Alan Gray, in association with Namibia, you know, you can obviously see that track record starting off from there, and it's usually these particular, the mindset, because it's the mindset of the average person out there thinking towards the future, looking at, you know, what the times have been, ultimately building up to 2020. I always call it like you can think of it like the great void or the great reset discussion. But moving on from the longevity notion, we've also got the notion in terms of where we began for this evening with our talk. Many people always think that, you know, into the future and the psychology behind it. Now, I already asked the thinking going ahead, and you also answered the aspect in terms of what are you going to look forward to after a retirement age. But there's usually like a psychological thing usually behind this thinking. Now, here is where I'd like to tap into your brain, Etienne, in terms of how do people, you know, get to understand or get into thinking the longevity game, the future game, as well as also factoring in, like you already calculated, you've got the 480 paychecks between 23 and 65. Well,
63.
Yeah. 63, yeah. Okay, let's play with 63, yeah. Because Namibia also, in a way, we amended slightly the retirement age in certain particular brackets, which now makes it 59 and 60. So anyone might be panicking right now about, oh my goodness, that's like a few paychecks less. But let's stay with the 63 notion. We are obviously also looking at the aspect in terms of, you know, Namibia has many particular developments going on. And you mentioned there's a lot of information that's available. How should people get into the mindset of just, you say, you know, let me hunker down. Let me think about, if I'm now in the employment phase of my life, let me think about this future component. Let me not worry about any other particular noises happening somewhere else, but just apply a certain aspect of psychology. Because I've personally, in my own particular capacity, I have gone into, and this is now in my earlier, well, I'm now 39. So my earlier sort of like career lifespan, I got into an investment particular discussion, thought I could ignore about it, but then went like, you know what, I want to resign here, take my money and go and apply it for a specific skill that I'm studying for or add on. And obviously in certain scenarios, you know, if you understand the particular employer at that stage, they were like, you know what, Dwight, it's either you sacrifice the further skilling up because you're going to be away for 3 months. This was literally for 3 months. Or you've got
at my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low, because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
Coming back from that, dear listeners, I do apologize because it slightly jumped on me. I got away with my question because I've got to factor in and describe, illustrate. We're using words. This is audio. Now, just before the break jumped on us, Etienne, I asked the question primarily if, you know, the psychology behind thinking, because there's a lot of distractions currently happening. You also factored that in. And there's obviously also the calculation you did regarding the 480 paychecks. That's a lovely calculation, guys. But nonetheless, when we're thinking about this, the psychology behind it, too many things are happening outside. And I'm talking about economic developments. But then just thinking about yourself, in terms of the impact you can make right here. There must be sort of like a motivational factor. How does someone identify that to go like, I'm not married yet, or I might be in a temporary housing scenario, or I'd still like to add on further skill development. How do they get into that mindset of just saying, let me hunker down and let me play the longevity game? Let me look to the future as well, because I've also come over being used to the longevity scenario.
Yeah, and I mean, I would answer this from an investment point of view. It reminds me a bit about a brilliant book that is out there called The Behavior Gap by the author Carl Richards. And one of his sketches that he uses in his book, where he explains what this behavior gap is what is called the investment return. That is what companies like ourselves would give an investor, and then the investor return. And there's always a gap, because during your investment journey, you will encounter, like you said, a lot of noise. You know, there are, at the moment, when you think about it, you know, Russia and the Ukraine are fighting each other. You know, there's a war raging between Israel and Palestine. And a lot of other things going on. You know, if you think about all the elections across the world that are taking place this year. So there's a lot of things that can distract you from your investment journey. And you would, human behavior is such that we get very emotional about a lot of things, but especially so about investments. And then what often happens is people will say, you know what, there's so much uncertainty, I'd rather, you know, change my investment from its current, you know, how it's currently structured, and I'd rather move into cash or just into gold or whatever, because I'm scared of what's going to happen. Now, typically, that is not a good move. You know, once you have that strategy, you have to stick it out. Now, maybe I should have taken one step back. First of all, you have to identify exactly what you are saving for. So identify those goals and attach, and you can have different goals, and attach sort of a timeline to that. And then the other big thing that people don't do that they probably should do is to have a proper budget. Now, I'll get to the longevity part just now. But if you don't know how much you can put away every month, and, you know, it's also interesting, the same Warren Buffett said, you know, you should first save and then spend what is left. And I think, you know, and I'm speaking for myself here as well, you kind of spend what you earn. And often we will say, you know, if there's something left at the end of the month, I'll put something away. Now, that hardly ever happens.
Almost like an afterthought exercise,
Yeah. And look, you will always find something to give your money out on. But if you have a budget and you factor in that investment or that saving into that budget, and even if it's a few hundred dollars a month, NAM dollars, I'm not even talking US, then, you know, the chances are more likely that you will stick to that investment plan. And then it is the second step, I would almost say, is to find a trusted financial advisor that would help you with this investment sort of journey. You know, there are many factors. If you think about financial planning holistically, you have to make provision for certain occurrences in life. You know, it might be that you have a heart attack or that you have a stroke, and all of a sudden, where you had two legs to walk with, you know, you might be bound to a wheelchair. You know, do you have insurance cover that will pay out and provide you with the funds to, I mean, you have to adapt your lifestyle. So there are so many factors to consider. And I think what I find is a lot of people are what we call DIY investors and think they can do it themselves. And it's extremely dangerous. I mean, I've been in the financial service industry for 17 plus years. And, you know, when I say the past 15 years, focusing very strongly, you know, on investments and speaking to people about investments. But I too use a financial advisor for my own blind spots and weaknesses, you know, to make sure that I stay on track. So I think that's a very important factor, is that it is, you know, again, part of this whole long-term thinking. It is not, you know, you can't chop and change your strategy supermarkets are good examples where, you know, they stay true to what they're known for or what they stand for.
Mm.
And they chop and change here a bit, you know, a new logo every now and then, rearrange the aisles in the shop and...
just put in a new tile here and
that,
there.
That kind of thing. Yeah. But ultimately, you know, we know the supermarkets. You can immediately identify that supermarket for who it is and what they do. And it's the same with your investments, right? You can make alterations here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to have, if you don't have that goal, if you don't know what you're saving for, and up until now I've only talked about retirement,
mm-hmm.
Since that's the biggest one that, you know, for the average person out there. But if you don't know what you're saving for, and if you don't know how much you have to save for, and plus if you don't know what, you know, if you have a certain goal in mind, you can actually do the calculation. Say you earn $25,000 a month and you say, I want to earn the equivalent of $25,000, but only in 40 years from now.
Mm.
One can do those calculations and one can kind of say, okay, how much do I have to put away now every month? And with how much do I need to adjust that every year to reach that end goal?
Yeah.
But you have to put in this effort. You have to do this work, this groundwork first. And then, you know, you embark on the journey, then have the discipline not to fiddle with it too much. And, you know, I think time is your friend. You will reach that goal. There are ups and downs in between, right?
Mm.
But that's really, if you have that discipline, trust me, you'll be in the top 95% of successful savers in the world.
Now, if we use my example primarily, because I remember I referenced it a little bit in terms of I had the specific plan. And like, okay, let me also, you know, think about it. I won't reveal, Etienne, whether or not I'm saving or currently, but let's just talk about a past reference here. If what I did in terms of the education analysis that we used, where I said, okay, I'm going to scale up a little bit more, but I'm taking a personal knock here primarily by deciding to resign there and then accessing money that I had the same idea of playing the longevity game, putting it away in order to facilitate specific function. If someone is in that sort of like, can we call it like a, because it's not actually a transition phase, but it does look like a transition mechanism, you know, stopping a specific investment and thus deciding, let me scale up somewhere else. But at the heart of everything, there's only one person here, because you can't say, okay, life restarts after 63 or life restarts somewhere else. That particular mindset also has I don't want to say a conflicting approach, because what I ultimately did is a cardinal sin that you would identify. I said, no, Dwight, why would you do that? But if we look at scenarios like this, people that want to upskill, want to upgrade a little bit more, even if it's just on skills, and they believe at that stage, this was what, 2011? That's literally like 13 years back. You would then go like, okay, the picture looked different then. The noise today has a different scenario. Would it be the same particular psychological aspect that would need it have to apply it back then? Or is it like saying, okay, Dwight, there's no perfect scenario to look at from 2011 to now what the future was? Is it a situation that you could have committed the cardinal sin back then, but under now you've got to have that longevity approach in terms of our discussion that we've had so far?
It sounds to me like you're asking me, is it too late to start again?
in a way, yeah.
Yeah, look, life happens,
mm-hmm.
right? I don't think I'm not sitting here all righteous and think everybody should be disciplined and committed savers. Life happens, and I'll tell you a bit about my own story. In 2015, my wife. You know, we decided that she should explore an opportunity to study overseas full-time for a year to do further studies. And I happened to resign from my previous employer then. And I basically took all of my pension fund savings and paid it towards her studies.
Mm.
Now, have I kept that and... you know, added it to my existing sort of pension fund, I would have had, I think, fairly decent growth. You know, I'm probably, you know, if I look at what is this now of the past 8-9 years, looking at missing out on an average of around about 19% growth per year
That is pretty strong. That is pretty strong. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that's more or less what a typical pension fund vehicle would have given you. And, you know, so if I look at it specifically as an investment mistake or not, probably was. But it equipped my wife to now do something that she really likes, that she could explore further. And it allows her to generate, you know, income so that, you know, there's, I want to say, less dependency on my income. You know, so now two people can earn an income and save for the future. So I think what I'm trying to say through this, there is no right and wrong. But what you cannot change is, again, that time thing.
Yeah.
If you start saving at the age of 20, you have to save roughly between 10 and 20% of, and it's closer to the 10% mark of your salary to retire successfully. But if you wait until the age of 40, that increases to between 50 and 60% of your salary.
Because you're obviously accelerating the rate of savings.
You have to make up for that times or for those years that you've missed. And now, because you're missing out on that compounding effect, you have to put away so much more just to achieve the same result as the 20-year-old that put away the 10 or so percent.
From the start of 20.
But I can tell you, it is absolutely never too late to start. I was over the age of 30 when I really started saving, and even then, didn't save enough. I should have saved more. So yes, I guess, you know, don't be too hard on yourself. And if you are cashing in on your pension fund, I think it's a topical thing in Namibia, isn't it? I mean, there's our neighbors in South Africa. I think as from September, there is a new development in the pension world where you can actually access a part of your pension fund. They refer to it as the two-pot system. There would basically be two pockets where you save your pension in, and one you can access. You know, there are lots of terms and conditions attached to it. But long story short, before retirement, you have access to your retirement savings. Now, and I've read in the press here that there are calls for that as well. And that's why I say I don't want to
explore into it much.
But also, you know, not pretend that people don't have, you know, monetary money pressures. But I think the last resort would be to cash in on your pension, because you just enjoy that momentum of compounding if you've started early enough. I basically started afresh.
I want to explain the compounding, but I actually want you to explain the compounding again, because many people have, and I know it's not primarily in terms of sort of like just on our talk for today, but you sometimes hear about compounding when it comes to discussions. Obviously, many Namibians, we have like these, you know, casual discussions with people who are in the realm of, financial planning. This can be an accountant or someone that you know as a family member or friend. But then they use that phrase, compounding, sometimes. What is it referred to? Is it still the idea that I had, that I'm sitting with, the compound interest discussion, or is it in a different scenario?
Compound interest. I mean, you in the right direction there. Einstein is often accredited for saying that compounding is the eighth wonder of the world. I've read a few pieces that make the point that it wasn't Einstein, but let's give Einstein the credit for saying that, because whoever said it was right. So compounding in its purest form, is growth on growth. And one of my favorite examples to show you the power of compounding is, if I were to give you a dollar today, say this was the first day of the month, and for the next 30 days, I'm going to double that amount every day, right? So I'm going to give you $1 today, tomorrow I'll give you two, the day thereafter four, then eight, 16, 32, 64. So every day I double what I've given you the previous day. But we start with that $1. I mean, take a guess on day 31. How much that would be.
I don't want to calculate right now, but because obviously that would mean people would hear me clicking on buttons here. But it might be in the region, safe guess, $200 at least.
Right. So remember, it's a dollar today, two tomorrow, four, then eight, 16, 32, 64, 128, 256. You know, within a week, you're at 256.
So we're already past the 200.
Yeah. So the answer on day 31, you will have $1,073,000,000. That's 1,000 times a million.
Mm.
And you start off with $1 on day one. On day 31, there's over $1 billion.
Mm.
Now, look, realistically, none of us can. Well, I guess there might be one or two people in Namibia that can do this, but that explains it. So the one becomes two, the two becomes four, the four becomes eight. And there are many more examples to illustrate that compounding. If you fold a piece of paper, I think something like 70 times in half, if you can manage to do that, it will reach all the way to the moon. You can almost not think it.
Yeah.
And if you fold it once more, once you've reached the moon, you just fold it, you double it once more, you go back all the way to the earth, right, in one fold. And that is compounding. I think overseas they will use the example of a snowball. Maybe not the right one for Namibia because we don't have it. But
one of the best ones I always hear about is the chaos theory, but that obviously speaks towards a what you call it, a butterfly doing something here. And then on the other end of the world, you are fascinated by this destructive element.
Yes.
But obviously we're using it in positivity because you're looking at compounding going ahead. Yeah. But I don't know, would it be the right analysis if we apply that thing? You know, the butterfly so beautiful.
Butterfly clapping its wings on this side of the world and causing a
thunderstorm.
A thunderstorm on the other side. Look, I mean, yes, because it starts, and I think what was nice about the butterfly, very gentle creature, it starts very softly.
Mm.
You know, similar to my example, you start with a dollar, you end up with a billion.
Mm.
The one thing is that you have to bear in mind, it takes time. So the wings of that butterfly will clap, but it will take a while
for
that storm to build up. And that is what compounding does not happen overnight, right? I think that's the one thing. And that is why the emphasis is so much on starting out as soon as you can when you are young, because it becomes harder later in life to do it.
And dear listeners, don't worry, guys. If you're as worried as Dwight, ultimately, because I asked the question, I had to ask the question. But we should quickly take a short breather break. One break. We'll be back after this. And then we'll be heading into the last 10 minutes. We did make a provision. The hope was there for callers' contributions. But obviously, this is the launch of the first episode in one of many for the next 3 months. However, do remember, dear listeners, that if you still wish to come through and if you still wish to ask a quick question of Etienne, you can do so at 083-288-401. Alternatively, there is the SMS line at 1040. And don't worry, we'll keep the SMS. Even if you send it and we end it at 7, we'll keep the SMS for next week. Obviously, so that we can just, share this particular insight. But if you're not, don't worry. There's still next week Wednesday and the week after that. And obviously, we'll be taking a look at every unique episode that we'll be having here on your number one talk radio station. That's with Eagle FM in partnership with Alan Gray. And we'll be back right after this short break, dear listeners.
Listen to Eagle FM in Katima Mulilo at 93.1. Listen to Eagle FM in Oranjemund at 107.7. Listen to Eagle FM in Otapi at 93.6. Listen to Eagle FM in Rundu at 106.3. Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.
And we come back, dear listeners, from the short, really short break right there. And just getting into the last 9 or 10 minutes. I did see the phone line flashing. It is flashing again. Do remember, dear listeners, it's in our engagement for today. You know, we can't have that 4 minute, 5 minute engagement that we always do. You know, I know I'm a little bit liberal, but you've got to ask the question, and let's hear what you wish to add in terms of also asking Etienne one question, not five questions, but one question at least. On that note, Eagle FM, and thank you for the missed call. However, do remember, guys, that you can always, in the last 8 minutes that we have got left. Etienne, now, we left off, obviously, we highlighted the notion of compounding and the psychology, obviously, that many people have to apply when looking towards the future, as well as also the examples that we inserted there, mine and yours, about, you know, if you wish to sort of like do something that you see is an investment as well. It's not the immediate monetary reward, because many people sit with the idea that to watch paint dry, or even to watch a tree grow, or to look at something develop, but you are fixated on it. I don't know if you remember the one thing that we used to get told, you know, that too many, if you're looking at the pot, the pot won't cook, because you're obviously expecting the pot to cook as your eyes are there. With that particular thinking, you know, people shouldn't always be bothered about the investments that they make, because obviously longevity is there, obviously patience is in there. But there's a nice thing, and I've heard of it a few times when I've myself interacted with financial planners. They said, Dwight, when you look at this thing, forget about it. Is that the right message that we can have, or is it sort of like a start to thinking that way?
Look, there's a reason why you would engage the services, I almost want to say, of investment management company like ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about how it works in practice, right? So we would build investment portfolios, different ones for different outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
But say we take what is called the Allan Gray Namibia Balanced Fund. This is a unit trust portfolio, and it is geared for people who want to save towards retirement, or, you know, that have a long-term goal in mind, you know, say anything 3, 5 or, years and longer.
Mm.
Now, inside that basket of investments within this portfolio that is called the unit trust, you will find shares, you will find bonds, you would find commodities like gold. You would find investments from Namibia, some that are based in South Africa, on the rest of the African continent, and then overseas.
Mm.
Our work is to go and find those best investment opportunities on behalf of our clients, right? So, for instance, if we decide to invest in a company, and maybe let me use a local one, Namibia Breweries, for instance, we will look at that company and analyze it to the bone.
Mm-hmm.
We will look at that company and say, who are their competitors? You know, what is their distribution network like? How many beverages do they sell, or beers?
Mm-hmm.
How do they perform in difficult economic times, etc.? That's our job, to analyze. And then if we see, then we will put a value to that company, and then we will look at the share price. Now, if the share price is less than what we think the company is worth, then we would invest in it. Now, the mistake that investors often make is to try and do this themselves, because it is a specialized field. And I'm not saying that, you know, some people cannot do it, but the amount of time that it takes to do that analysis on just one company, you know, would make it merely impossible, unless you make it your full-time
job,
sort of job.
Yeah.
But yes, I mean, I wouldn't particularly, I would find an investment management company like ourselves, or, you know, and maybe 2 or 3 or 4 of them, and entrust my money to them and trust them with the decisions that they make, right? So that you don't have to make these decisions for yourself, right? So, I mean, take it a bit. If you have a headache and you start Googling what causes headaches, then you will find anything from hot weather to
hunger,
cold ice cream to brain tumors.
Yeah.
Now you read brain tumor. You think, oh my word, might I have a brain tumor? Now you are self-diagnosing, and you are, you know, creating a stir within yourself, and a lot of emotions go through your you know, mind.
Mm.
And that is the danger of trying to do this yourself. So yes, you ask the question, is it sometimes, you know, invest and leave it alone? That is often the best strategy, the caveat being just do it with a reputable sort of investment firm or firms.
That self-diagnosis particular picture, Etienne, is actually a good message that you bring in there, because people, which brings us to the noise factor once again, there's a lot of information, and obviously not everyone, well, this even includes me, dear listeners, don't worry. Even if I read a lot, you sometimes sit there, did I read the right source? Is it from the right particular angle? But obviously, like you highlighted with, in you know, with an investment manager, like with yourselves, with Alan Gray, it would be a notion in terms of you would get the advice, you would get the guidance, and you would get the insights. The importance from this is, and I do see that the line is flashing. However, we've got 5 minutes left, dear listeners, at this particular notion. If anyone is still coming through, it has to be to the point specifically. Say hello and then ask the question, dear listeners. Okay, I see that they've stopped now again. Just on that particular notion, Etienne, it just looks like in a conclusionary aspect. When we are obviously looking at understanding, is there still much that needs to be basically seen from a customer, from an investor? Because yes, you yourself, you are a, if I can say it, an investment encyclopedia. But when you look at the person that obviously tries to tap into your knowledge base as a customer, as a client in that scenario, is it like a coaching exercise basically that you guys have to endure on? Because this is a longevity discussion. This is about a long path that has to be walked. Does it start off something like that? Is it the right understanding in terms of this? Because obviously, still, people need to understand, you know, there are futures ahead and there are futures that they've got to plan for in that particular conclusionary nutshell.
I think it is important to bear in mind that Alan Gray does not possess a crystal ball. We cannot predict the future.
It would have been nice.
It would have been.
Yeah, it would have, yeah.
So we cannot predict the future. We make our investment decisions based on our own analysis. Mm-hmm. And we do get it wrong. There are many examples over the past 50, 51 years that the group has been in existence. We've got certain investment calls wrong. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, it is what can we do? We offer that, you know, the product, I almost want to say, the solution. What can we not do? We are not by law allowed to give financial advice, right? I think that is also one expectation that clients or prospective clients have of us, is that we can provide financial advice. And I think, you know, just on that point, it's one should be careful not to compare yourself to others. And the, you know, just because I'm 44 years old, have been married for around about 15 years, doesn't make, you know, what I do and how I plan and how I go about it is not necessarily the right course of action for every other 44-year-old out there. You know, I'll tell you, my life changed overnight. We had our first child in December. Right? So not many people have their first children at the age of 44. For that reason, it's, you know, if somebody just said, Etienne, what do you do? How do you invest? Mm-hmm. You know, it would have been dangerous to follow my route. That's why you have to have the financial advice. So, you know, just considering your question, I think it is important to seek independent financial advice, right? Somebody to help you craft your plan, somebody to remove the blind spots for you.
It's the unique tailoring, right? Yeah.
And then it's that discipline. I'm not saying don't read. You know, do read up. I think it's familiarize yourself. It's sad that people, I think there was a piece of research that showed that people spend more time considering what car to buy than what they would, you know, spend time on considering who to help them with financial advice or who to invest with. Why? Because money and investing is a concept that is foreign to a lot of people. And what do we do if we're not familiar with the subject? We tend to stay away from it. And there's that other factor where it's almost a cultural thing where it's sometimes considered inappropriate to talk about money, right? I didn't grow up in a house where we sat down and discussed finances or the importance of savings. You know, in hindsight, I wish we had. I will definitely have it with my daughter from a very early age. So there are many ways to go about this, and you know to. But I think it's what you as an investor need, and that I include myself, is the discipline. I think acknowledging that you have to save or invest, that's the first step, right? Then to put it into action is to seek financial advice and say, this is me, this is my, you know, my unique set of circumstances, how should I proceed?
Mm.
And then leave it, and then let this thing happen.
All right, so it basically starts with an identification phase, basically, yeah. On that particular note, Etienne, thank you for us. Well, you're here with the launch for this evening's first episode here on Eagle FM, that through Alan Gray. And that ultimately brings us up to the end of our discussion. Just if I have any last particular remarks that you still want to share with the listeners just before we sign out, anything else that you still want to add?
Yeah, I think, thank you for the opportunity. It's been lovely. I think don't despair, right? It's never too late. It's as I said, it's that acknowledgement, it's that being honest with yourself and your current situation. And as opposed to saying, with just small amendments to your way of thinking, you can actually be, you know, get a lot closer to success. So instead of saying, I don't have money to save or to invest, ask yourself, how, you know, can I change my situation to the point where I can start saving or investing? It's just a small nuance change. So yeah, don't despair. We were all in that position at one time in our lives, but there's definitely hope, and where we can, we would certainly lend a hand.
I think I'll put that one here at the back of my mind, guys. Don't worry, I've taken it to heart. But on that note, dear listeners, this has been the first episode here on Eagle FM on the Business and Economic Segment in partnership with Alan Gray. Thanking Etienne for tonight's participation. Don't worry, we will see him next week. Well, I'm booking him already. Don't worry, he's one of many speakers. Don't worry, dear listeners. And on that note, do stay tuned for the next program to come after the break. And let's see each other again, same time, same place again. On that note, do stay tuned for the next program.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3...